The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Appreciate the prayer, appreciate the beautiful singing, and it's so good to be back with you again today. I appreciate you calling on me, Brother Tim, and if I might add one thing to what Brother Tim said earlier about the podcast being a ministry to people, I actually had someone who lives south of Birmingham at Vestavia Church last night, as I was in the meal line there, say thank you to me, in light of the fact that I'm a church member here, that we do the podcast. I've had people from South Georgia tell me that they listen to our podcast. Some of them might listen to this message down the road, and if they do, we appreciate them listening. I appreciate you all supporting it. I appreciate Brother Tim and Brother Luke preaching on it. I myself listen to the podcast on my way to work in the morning. If you don't know how to do that, most of you have a phone, just Google Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church, click on the website, scroll down and hit podcast, and it'll pull up sermons from the last months. You can go through there and just hit a sermon, it'll pull it up, hit play, and listen to it on your way to work or your way to wherever. Be a blessing to you, as it has been to me. So thank you for supporting it. And if any of those folks that regularly listen to it hear this message, I'll just say publicly thank them for listening to it.
Amen.
Today I would like to speak with you for a few moments on the subject Back to the Beginning, which you might also say is Back to the Future. Y'all remember that movie years ago, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
You go back in time, you figure out what's going to happen in the future. And Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. And the things that we as human beings in our flesh are doing today, there's a reason that we fall short, and there's a reason that we are attracted to certain things, and there's a reason that we do things in certain ways. But I would say, as a child of God, when we look back at the beginning of things and we see where mankind originally messed up and we inherited much of that deficiency, that our Savior is sufficient to overcome that today. You know, there was a man named Adam that the Lord created as the first human being. You're all aware of that, no doubt. We'll read about him in a minute. Adam messed up some things in the Garden of Eden. Specifically, God told Adam to take dominion over every living creature that moved upon the face of the earth. And Adam did not do that. Adam didn't take dominion over the serpent. He didn't take dominion over Eve. And he didn't take dominion over himself. Now we'll look at what all that means in a minute. Bear with me. But as a result of that, we are left in a state of being cursed with sin in our flesh and in need of a redeemer. And so, several thousand years after the events occurred in the garden that we're going to read about momentarily, a second Adam came in perfection, fulfilled the law of God, went to the cross, and has provided us today here in the church a new Eden that we can enjoy under the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said before, many people spend their lives here naturally trying to get back to the Garden of Eden. Eden was a place of perfection. You didn't have to work very hard. Food was readily available. Adam and Eve didn't even need clothes and shoes. Everything was just right. And many times we think, if I could just get to that state in my life, if I could just smooth everything out, if I could fix my wife, fix my husband, get enough money in the bank, I'd be back in that kind of state again. I'd have it made. Naturally speaking, that will never happen here in this world. There will always be insufficiencies in your life, in the lives of others. You'll never have as much as you want, even if you ever get enough that your needs are provided for. And so, if we're looking for Eden in this life, we should look to the church. So let's read here about the deficiencies of Adam and look at how God has provided for those things. And I would suggest to you young people, please, you always pay such good attention. I appreciate it so much.
Amen.
You need to understand these things, although they occurred many thousands of years ago, because every single one of you under the sound of my voice today is a descendant of Adam and Eve. And if we're not careful, the things that they messed up 6,000-7,000 years ago, we'll mess up today.
Amen.
They paid for it. They paid dearly.
Amen.
For the entirety of their lives, they had regrets.
Yeah.
We don't want to follow in their example in that way. In Genesis, the first chapter, the 25th verse, we read this, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So the Lord forms this plan in his mind that we will allow man to have dominion over the creatures that I have made. Psalm chapter 50 tells us that the Lord says in Psalm chapter 50, "Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. Every fowl of the air I know. Every beast of the field is mine. And God is saying here, I am making this beautiful creation. I have created these animals, and I'm going to let man have dominion or rulership over these things I have created. Now, when we think of dominion, sometimes we think of dominion in a negative way. We think of some authoritarian dictator overseas somewhere just killing and murdering people. And that is not what dominion means right here.
Right.
Dominion in the sense of God's view, it won't go to all the scriptures today, but the shortcut, kingship in the Lord's mind is not dominion in an oppressive, mean way. It is leadership and provision. In other words, the Lord is saying we're going to have man have dominion over these creatures, but not in a way that he would be abusive,
right.
Not in a way that he would abuse his power and be authoritarian and be unkind, but that he would lead that and that he would provide and take care of these things that I'm entrusting to him. In verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. When mankind was created, man was innocent. He never sinned. He wasn't created perfect in the sense that he could not sin, but he was created innocent in the sense that he had not sinned. And in that creation, in the garden, man was to have dominion over the beast. Now, there were no sin at the time. Sometimes we think in our minds, dominion is a man going out and maybe killing a man-eating tiger or something like that. Now, that's dominion, okay? If you ever wonder why there aren't mountain lions in Alabama anymore, it's because our settlers' forefathers took dominion over the mountain lions and killed them all because they didn't like mountain lions eating their pigs and cows. How come there aren't hardly any bears left in Alabama? Because our forefathers said, bears come at night and eat my cows, I'm going to wipe them out. Now that's dominion in a physical sense. But that dominion came as a result of the fall. This is before the fall. In this world that God has created in the garden, animals weren't eating each other. There was no danger. So man was to take dominion, but in a manner of leadership, in a manner of provision. Now when we take dominion over the natural world, it is with force and brutality most of the time. And ladies, if you ever wonder why your male children want to play with toy guns and squash bugs and they're not real interested in baby dolls, this is why. Because men were meant to have dominion over the Lord's creation. If we hadn't had the fall, that would not have involved death. But nonetheless, every little boy knows, I'd rather play with a little toy gun than I had with a baby doll. Don't be surprised. That's normal. Okay? Now, sometimes little girls get involved in it, too. I'll just track off here for a minute, rabbit trail, to give you an example of that. Yesterday, my sons and I were out taking dominion over our herd of pigs. And I'm probably delicate here. We're performing a minor operation on some of the male pigs to render them edible down the road. If you want to know what that is, our church, I'll tell you. So we're out here catching pigs, fighting off the mother pigs, cutting these pigs. There's a little blood on the ground. It's kind of rough. I'm running. My back still hurts today from grabbing a pig and running with it from her 600-pound mother. We got through with this, and we're over now relaxing near our swing set. And Elena, who's witnessed many of these things, comes up to me. She has a bug in her hand. Now, she's seen me catching pigs. She's seen the boys catching pigs. We're hollering. We're running. The pigs are screaming. She comes up with a little fly in her hand and says, look, Daddy, I caught a mosquito. Sometimes even the little girls get caught up in it. But there's part of us that wants to reach out there and take dominion. Now, in this time, the Lord wasn't talking about dominion in that way because there had been no fall. And so Adam is supposed to take dominion in a protective, kingly way, watching out for the creation the Lord has made. And the Lord gave him a lot of things he could do. He said, you and your wife are to be fruitful and multiply. There's no holds barred there. You're supposed to go fill up the earth. That doesn't sound too bad to me. There was no pain in childbearing or would not have been at that time. That sounds like they had a green light to have a big family and to enjoy life. God said, you go on down a few verses, you can eat of every herb-yielding tree. God gives them some things that they are commanded to do and allowed to do, and then he tells them something they are not supposed to do. And we read about that in the second chapter. And over in the 17th verse, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So Adam and Eve are here in the garden, and another creature shows up in the garden. In the opening verse of chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, God has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. In other words, here Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam has been commanded to take dominion. Adam is supposed to be watching out for the animals, the creation, the wife that God has given him, and his own self. Because remember, in taking dominion over every living creature, you and I are living creatures. Paul says, as he's explaining that to the Greeks in the 17th chapter of Acts, as he's on Mars Hill and he's explaining to them who the unknown God is that some of them are worshiping, he says, there's a God that created everything you see, and it is in him that we live and move and have our very being. So they are living, moving creatures as well. Well, here shows up this serpent. Now, I don't know what he looked like. I don't completely understand this. I'm not going to tell you I do. Maybe when I get to heaven, I'll understand it completely. Sometime after the Lord looked at his creation and said it was very good, this creature we call Satan fell from heaven and was cursed to walk upon this earth. And he enters into the picture now in the form of a serpent, and he's beguiling Eve. And he comes up and he begins to trick her. And he says some things to her that are not entirely true. They're not completely false. But he beguiles her, and long story short, for sake of time, he convinces Eve that it will be a good idea to eat of the fruit. And if you go on down into verse 6, we read this, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, the brothers have pointed out in the past, I've probably said it too, Adam is in the vicinity here with her. I don't know how far away he was, but he's with her. So apparently he is to some extent aware of these events as they unfold. Now remember, Adam was commanded and charged by God to take dominion over every living creature that the Lord God had made. And he fell short right here. Because he allows this wicked being to influence his wife. He doesn't take dominion over his wife, which again would not be abusive. It would be simply that he was to have protected her in her innocence. And he doesn't take dominion over his own flesh. Because we know when Adam took of this, Eve was beguiled. But Paul tells us in his writings that Adam transgressed willingly. He knew what he was doing. Sin is always preceded by lust. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. From the writings of John and James, we understand that. And so as Adam sins here, there had to be some lust preceding that. So Adam has failed in his dominion in terms of taking dominion over the creature, this serpent, in terms of taking protective dominion over his wife and looking out for her. And he does not take dominion over his own flesh and his own lust. And the result of that sin is that whereas by one man sin entered the world, according to Romans chapter 5, and so death passed upon all men, when Adam sinned, all of his progeny, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be that every human being has walked on the face of this planet has been in sin. We all inherited sin because of Adam's failure here. And if you go on down and read the rest of chapter 3, you find out that the result of that was that Adam and Eve were expelled by God from the garden. And the Lord tells them, oh, as he explains to them what the curse will be like, that they're going to have to work. Now, childbirth is going to be difficult. Life is not going to be easy anymore. And the Lord says, this perfect place I made for you is off limits to you now because of what you've done. And the Lord said in verse 22, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. We are of the earth. Our natural substance comes from the earth out there, from crops that are planted that we consume, that our mothers consumed when they were carrying us. That's what our bodies are made of. And someday, if the Lord doesn't return very soon, we will be laid to rest back in that earth, and we will become earth again. The Lord tells Adam a little earlier on, he says, you are dust. I made you from dust. You're going to go out there and you're going to till the dust, and to dust you will return. And he tells the serpent, you, because of your complicity in this, are going to crawl on the ground and eat dust. And that didn't just mean that every snake would be a carnivore and kill and eat things. That is true. But also that Satan now would feed upon the dust of humanity. Amen. Man, what does that mean, Brother Neil? It means that Satan is lurking out there right now and would love to destroy your natural body.
Amen.
Why has he made alcohol so readily available and cheap with the technology of mankind to destroy your body?
Right.
Why are drugs out there? To destroy your body.
Amen.
Why has Satan promoted fornication and adultery in our society to the point that it is more commonplace than doing it the right way? To destroy your body.
Amen.
He is doing it on purpose. The same way he beguiled Eve. And if we do not take dominion in our lives on the areas where Adam fell short, we're going to end up just like Adam and Eve.
Amen.
Now, Eden today is not a place you can go in physical perfection.
Right.
Eden today is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is where you can come and be fed from the Lord's hand.
Right.
And have fellowship with the Lord and hear the brothers pray and hear the songs of Zion go up by one congregation with one voice in praise to the Lord. I don't want to lose this Eden.
Amen.
And if I don't want to lose this Eden that the Lord came and died to give me, and he came and he took dominion over that wicked serpent Satan and cast him out. And in John the 12th chapter, you can read about it. The Lord said, "And judgment is now come, and I will judge the prince of this world and cast him out." You say, "Brother Neil, he's still out there roaming around in the world and he still has dominion over Hollywood and he's still promoting wickedness." Yeah, but he's not here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He may sneak in there occasionally and he may tempt and he may lure, but our Lord reigns here in this Eden.
Amen.
And he came and died to give it to us. And we need to take dominion over ourselves.
Right.
In a way that Adam was not willing to if we want to enjoy the Eden that the Lord's given us. So let's look at how Adam failed in this. Adam didn't take dominion over that serpent. You say, "Well, Brother Neil, could he have taken dominion?" Adam at this point, right, thank you, Brother Tim, was not sinful. The Lord said, "Adam, take dominion." That meant the Lord is giving him the ability to do so. What would it have looked like if Adam had taken dominion in that day over that serpent? I don't know. Because he didn't. Right? I said it before. Maybe he should have rolled him up and just drop kicked him out of the garden. Maybe he should have said, "Lord, there's somebody here I ought not be here. I need your help." I don't know what it would have looked like. Because he didn't do it. So we have no way of knowing. But I know he should have. He didn't. And so death reigned, according to Romans chapter 5, from the time of Adam all the way up until the time of Moses, when the Lord comes and gives a law and restores fellowship with man by giving him a prescribed way to worship. Death reigned from that time, from Adam all the way up until Moses. And at that time, the Lord came and started a relationship with a certain group of people called the nation of Israel. And they continued to mess things up. And they sinned. And they were in bondage to different people and to Satan himself. And the Lord comes in the fullness of time. And he says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, all of my children. I will give them a place where they can come and live and go in and out and feed on the Lord's manna. And Satan will not have dominion over it. He may attack it, he may attack the church, but he will not prevail." In the 16th chapter of Matthew, when Peter starts to understand some light about who the Lord is, Peter turns around and starts to get on to the Lord. And as the Lord begins to explain, "I'm going to go to the cross and die," Peter says, "Oh no, you're not." And Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God." But he's thinking of worldly things. And the Lord says there, he says, "Peter, if a man wants to follow me, he needs to understand that he needs to take up his cross daily. He needs to follow me. He needs to put off the things of the world." And what he's telling Peter there is this. He says, "It would be better if you lost the whole world rather than lose your soul."
Amen.
Now, the Lord has got your soul eternally. But if you mess around in the world enough, if you don't take dominion over your flesh, if you don't, as we are exhorted in Ephesians chapter 4 and James chapter 4, to give no place to the devil, we're exhorted to resist the devil and he will flee us. If we don't do that, we can lose our soul in this life. We can lose the fellowship we should have with the Lord. If you let yourself get tangled up too, I hope I don't sound mean. If you let yourself get too tangled up in the world, you will lose that fellowship. So you can't take dominion over Satan anymore by yourself because you are a fallen creature and because you like the things that he puts out there and puts on the dinner table at night for you and on the TV screen and on the movie screen and on the internet. Our flesh likes a lot of those things. How do you take dominion over Satan? You do it through faith. You resist him The Lord gave you a pattern of how you do that in Luke chapter 4 when he was being tempted in the wilderness. And Satan brings three temptations. Every single time the Lord responds with Scripture.
Amen.
Why? Because he had to? I don't think he had to. He could have done whatever he wanted to. He's the Lord. But I think he wanted you to understand how you take that dominion. So men, in your home, are you more powerful than Satan? No. But how do you keep him at bay and put a hedge around your family? I think what the Lord would say to you today is you learn what his Scripture says.
Amen.
When temptations come up, when things come against your home, when the kids are wanting to do this or that, and you're sitting there, I don't know if that's really wrong or if it's really right, or should I let them get involved with that? Should I not? You need to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
You need to study it. You need to know what it says about certain subjects. Is this movie bad? Is this activity bad? Look in the Word of God. It's there.
Amen.
The second thing Adam didn't take dominion over was his wife. Now again, dominion doesn't mean that he was to have ruled his wife in an abusive way. It means that he was to have protected her.
Amen.
She apparently, no reflection on any of you ladies, because I know many of you are much smarter than I am intellectually. But apparently she had a weakness for shiny things. For shiny fruit. Okay? Lord said, you can eat anything in this garden you want to, basically, all you want, but don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan shows up, and apparently she's somewhere around that tree. What is she doing there? And what is Adam doing there? They ought to have been on the other side of the garden. They know they can't have that one. Why are they even around it, in the vicinity of it? See, this, guys, this is how you could take dominion in your home and protect your family so that you could still live in the Garden of Eden in the Lord's church and not get distracted by those things. Sometimes you got to look out for the things that are shiny to those around you and protect them. And again, I probably don't do as good a job as this as I should. Y'all pray for me. I know I fall short. I know I fail. But, and I'm not an example to you of exactly how you ought to live your life. I don't try to be a generally decent example as best I can. And so I do occasionally give you examples. Now, if this is a little too hardcore, this one came to my mind as I was thinking over this. And this doesn't apply to everything. But let me give you one example. What Adam and Eve are really doing here is they're looking at the fruit and they're ignoring the principle. God says you can eat anything in this garden you want to except that. Stay away from that. They had one law, folks. But because they fell in sin and because we now have 6,000 years of human history behind us, we got a gajillion laws we have to obey. But the principles of God's Word are simple. We just don't like them sometimes. I was thinking about this. I said, Lord, give me a principle that I need to acknowledge that would just help this be an example. And the Lord brought to my mind Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 25th verse, which says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some do, okay, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I thought, you know, a situation came in our home a few months ago that was a piece of fruit that I wanted to taste on behalf of a couple of my daughters because they play the violin. They've been playing a long time. They work very hard at it. They're very good at it. Some of y'all heard them play at weddings and things. And they were invited to join an orchestra in Birmingham. You know, for those of y'all that don't play violin, it would be maybe for you football players like going to the state championship. For you hunters, that's shooting the 12-point, 160-inch buck. That's the cream. That's the cherry on top of the banana split. You know, someone's asking you to do something like that. And I said, well, that kind of sounds good. And my wife said, yeah, but there's only one problem. They only have one concert in the spring, and it's on Sunday. And I said, well, what time is it? She said, 11 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, honey, I didn't say it this way, but here's what I was essentially saying. Honey, we won't be chewing on that piece of fruit. I said, Brother Neil, that sounds legalistic. Are you saying that we ought to be in church? Yes.
Amen.
See, the principles are real simple. It's just that sometimes the fruit gets in the way. I'm over here looking at the shiny fruit. Oh, I'd love for my daughters to taste that fruit. They would love that. Who knows? They might become famous, might get a scholarship. But whoever came up with that particular date and time for that event, what are they thinking? They're obviously not thinking about the Lord. Where are most of the Lord's children who have a burden to serve Him on a Sunday morning? In church at 11 o'clock. Why couldn't they pick 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock? Because Satan is involved in some of those things, you see. He's still beguiling us. He's still doing it. And Adam didn't take dominion over himself. I'm getting close to closing. As Brother Tim needs to come. He didn't take dominion over himself. That's the hardest thing. The Lord said, take up your cross daily and follow me. And how do I overcome that? 1 John, the 5th chapter, closing verse. I've used it before. If the Lord leads me here, I'm sure I'll use it again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You don't need to worry about, listen, man, sometimes we think of the dominion mandate as I need to go out there and, you know, kill every deer that walks, make every buck that's in the bank, give my family everything they could possibly want, and I will have, you know, settled dominion over this world. That's not what the Lord came to do. The Lord came to restore fellowship between his children and him and give them a spiritual Eden here in time. Okay? And you come into that when you believe what the Lord said. If you believe the Lord died for you, then you're a born-again child of God. To go back a few verses, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believe you are born again, you're one of his children, and you overcome yourself, and you overcome the enemy, and you overcome perhaps the temptations that would lure your family by what? By believing. By believing through faith. Believing is not what saves you for heaven, because it is a result of the faith that the Lord gave you. But it saves you in this life. It saves you for the kingdom of God right here and right now. And I'll tell you what else it does. If you believe what he says, you have a lot less trouble leaving the fruit alone.
Amen.
You'll have a lot less trouble getting along with the other children of God here in Eden. And you have a lot less trouble with yourself. Take dominion today. Dominion, in a natural sense, is something that we are lured by. It's something that we desire. You know, I would like to have more stuff, bigger things, bigger house, be the best at this, best at that, best over here. Sometimes you will have to push that dominion aside to take dominion over your own flesh. Men, to be the kind of dominion head of a household that looks after those under you and protects them from that beguiling serpent who is still out there wanting to turn them into dusty powder. It starts with believing. Believe what Jesus said. Ask him for the strength to do it. And take dominion over yourself. And by the grace of God, Satan is already cast down. Now, I know we don't see it yet. All right? We don't see it yet. But he's defeated. And let's follow after the one that came and went to the cross and was lifted up above the earth. In his innocence was lifted up above the sin, above the degradation, put to death for us. Let's follow him. I'll tell you what. If you want to follow somebody that's got dominion, it's not the movie stars of the world.
Amen.
It's not the best athlete in the world, although there's some good ones. Okay? It's to follow the man that took dominion over your enemy, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.